Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This parable that's before us this morning is most often referred to as the parable of the lost sheep. But I think really that puts the emphasis of the meaning of the parable in the wrong place, at the wrong side of things. I think it would be much better if we were to think and talk about this parable as the parable of the worthy shepherd. That gets things right. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So there are two distinct groups in the congregation this morning. One group is called tax collectors and sinners. I think that they sit on the lectern side this morning. The other group is called Pharisees and scribes. They sit on the pulpit side. The tax collectors and sinners all draw near to Jesus so that they may hear him. They don't say anything, they just listen. On the other hand, the Pharisees and the scribes also draw near to Jesus, but they do so in order to complain to him. They grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" The way Jesus puts it, this is just the way business is done. This is just common sense, common practice. Which one of you, if you were entrusted with 100 sheep, for each and every one, you were entrusted with its care. You were entrusted with the responsibility of making sure that it was taken care of, well fed, lie down in green pastures, beside still waters. Which one of you, if you lost one of them, would not go and find it? Keep on searching until you do find it. Jesus is sounding an awful lot like the prophet Ezekiel, as we heard this morning. Or better yet, was it that Ezekiel was sounding a whole lot like Jesus? "Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought after." I'm told that in real life, sheep, being sheep that they are, limited intelligence, will, as they eat, put their head down and just move from tuft of grass to tuft of grass, never really looking up until eventually they'll look up and they'll discover that they have wandered a long way from the flock. No one's around. It never dawned on them. It was pure instinct. They just wandered away, drifted off. It's the shepherd's job to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so the shepherd keeps an eye on his sheep, and he's got his rod and his staff to poke and prod them from time to time, if necessary, in order to get them to lift up their head and to move back into the flock. They've drifted away. Some call it nagging. Some call it shepherding. The one group in the congregation is the shepherds of Israel, and they grumble about all of this. They disagree with Jesus' methods of shepherding. Is he serious about this, really? I mean, is he really willing to jeopardize 99 out of 100 of the flock by leaving in the wilderness alone in order to go after this one fool? Let himself drift away like that? He's only getting what he deserves, you know. I mean, really, what's that say about the 99? What's the moral majority supposed to think here? Doesn't he know, this shepherd, anything about statistics and law of averages and cost efficiency? Doesn't he know that there's a certain unavoidable write-off that just needs to be budgeted for? And what about that other group, the ones sitting on the lectern side, the tax collectors and the sinners? Are they really just innocent sheep? In all fairness, isn't there a great potential for grumbling from these as well? Because really, these are not sheep we're talking about here. This is people, human beings that we're talking about here. And people just don't go missing because of instincts or because of outside forces beyond their control. It's usually always intentional. They get fed up with this or with that. They're all just a bunch of hypocrites. They talk a good talk, but no one ever takes a leap of faith around here. And they got a suitcase full of examples to back up their cause. Maybe it's not a rebellion against God at all, actually. It's just that they got bored with the whole business. And then they found something new, something that really entertained them, something that held their interest much more. Frankly, it's not that they had anything against God or his church. It's just that they found no real use for it. Or maybe it's that God was just getting a bit too close to them. It was all okay as long as the message was vague about the problems in the world today, or it was uplifting. But when it all started to confront me and expose my sin before God and my lack of love for my neighbor, well, then it started to get a little uncomfortable. The heat started to rise. It was painful at times. And when they said that the only remedy for me was to repent, well, that was frankly more religion than I wanted. So I bolted. As crazy as this may sound, lots of sheep go missing right in the pews. They sing the hymns, they pray the prayers, they receive the gifts of God that God gives to his people, but for them it's all just camouflage. They hide from God behind it all. And so when the shepherd comes to this one lost sheep, it too may very well grumble. Hey, what are you hounding me for anyway? You're nagging me. I'm not lost, by the way. I worship God. I just do it my own way. I do it in the wilderness. You should be spending your time really with those 99 who think that they're so righteous, and you should just leave me alone. Point is, the lost are not innocent just because they got lost. The lost sheep are not the good guys in this story. In fact, they're just as likely to grumble about the coming of the shepherd as are the 99 likely to grumble at the leaving of the shepherd. But the thing is, and this is the thing is, none of this stops the shepherd. None of this stops the shepherd for a second from leaving the 99, going after the one lost sheep and looking for it until he finds it. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. And the question is, why? What's his motive? What drives him? Let's face it, it's not because the sheep cry out unto the Lord with such a pathetic cry. In fact, they grumble unto the Lord. And it's not because the shepherd knows that when he finds them, they will be so grateful that they will devote their entire life to the shepherd who found them with joy and thanksgiving. No, they will reject him, and he knows it. Crucify him, crucify him. Yet in spite of all of this, he goes after the one who is lost until he finds it, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Listen, it is not the sheep who rejoice at being found. It is the shepherd who rejoices at finding his lost sheep. why does the shepherd rejoice? And the answer is, because this is what shepherds are supposed to do. A shepherd is entrusted with the responsibility of taking care of those whom have been given to him and bringing them safely to their destination. His reputation as shepherd is on the line. Only a good shepherd is able to say to the one who has entrusted him with the care of the flock, "Of those whom you gave me, I lost not one." For a shepherd, finding the lost sheep is just a small part of the work involved. Always thought of a shepherd finding the lost sheep kind of like bagging a moose in Maine. I mean, once the job is done, the real work begins. Getting the thing out of the woods is the hard part. The only way to get a lost sheep back home is for the shepherd to lift it up on his shoulders and carry it all the way back home. A typical sheep will weigh anywhere from, 80 to 120 pounds. It is quite the burden to bear. Depending on how far the sheep has traveled and wandered from the flock, it can be downright painful. The Christian church was in existence for over 300 years before it ever adopted the symbol of the cross as its identifying symbol. As long as crucifixion was still in force and practiced, it was a far too painful, gross, terrible symbol for the church to look at. For the first 300 years plus of the church's existence, the primary symbol of the church was of the church's identity was a shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulders. The interesting thing is that where archaeology has identified these paintings in the Middle East, the proportion between sheep and shepherd is totally distorted. If anybody should know the proper proportion between sheep and shepherd, it would be a Middle Eastern artist. He sees it all the time. The sheep, however, are very often depicted as being almost the same size as the shepherd himself. Just picture it. Sometimes bigger than the shepherd himself. It's a purposeful distortion. It's meant to show the tremendous burden that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, bears in restoring the lost to the fold. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bears the burden of bringing us back home, and the burden is huge. So when we hear Jesus say, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing, is this not the strangest, the most preposterous thing you have ever heard? And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." The party, he says, is for me. The shepherd has vindicated his name. He is worthy. And for the sake of the good shepherd, the whole community rejoices. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and your blood is ransomed. You have ransomed people for God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. This is all about the worthy shepherd. And his worthiness as shepherd cannot be separated from his love for the sheep. The good shepherd is not simply interested in maintaining his own honor and dignity as shepherd. He cares for his sheep, each and every one of them. He knows them by name, the one as well as the 99. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does what he does for his own name's sake. He does what he does for the sake of the sheep. This is the parable of the worthy shepherd. And so just who is this community, this congregation that joins in this feast of victory for our God and sings with all the people of God and joins in the hymn of all creation? Who else would this be but those who were lost and have been found? Those whom he carried on his shoulder all the way back home. Those who were somehow caught up by the grace of God in this strange and preposterous rescue mission that the Lord has accomplished for his own name's sake and for theirs. True repentance is not the realization and the confession that you have gone astray and are lost. That is the confession of sin. True repentance is the realization and the confession that by the grace of God alone we have been found, that the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Amen.